That's tough because do you want to see good graphics, or I'm picturing like the first two Zelda games where it's just this little nugget of a person that.
Want to take us on a little side quest.
Goku's one of the greatest anime heroes of all time. He's badass. He's awesome.
Dude, hands down, Final Fantasy VII wins every day.
How could you not love the Mario Brothers movie?
RoboCop kicks everyone else's ass.
And that's why Superman sucks.
Oh, the Velociraptors kick ass in Jurassic Park every single day.
Yep, went on a bit of a rant there, huh?
Welcome back, everybody. It is Easter weekend, and we're not going to talk anything about Easter, so don't worry about it. We're not that kind of podcast, but we do want to welcome you. It's another Friday. We're so excited to have you. I want to join all of us on our very first main quest of the day. It's the topic of escape rooms. So, Justin...
Jeez, you just jumped right into that.
Well, yeah, of course you have to.
How's it going? Any updates? Anything going on in the world?
Nobody gives a shit about you guys. We just go straight into a main quest. We went to an escape room over the weekend. And, Jeff, you want to give the listeners out there a little breakdown of how it went?
Well, we did... it was like Monster Madness, right? Was that the one we did? Monster Mayhem, which was basically like a haunted escape room, because we sure got scared quite a few times, especially at that werewolf thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we went in and we had to awaken all four movie monsters. Yeah. In a very it was a lot of fun, but yeah, that first clue took us about fucking 20 minutes.
And very true.
It was a very bad first clue. After that, it went a lot better. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I don't know, Justin, you got anything to add?
Justin, give the real breakdown. How did it really go?
So what really happened here, audience? no, Jeff. I mean, you're absolutely right. I feel like they could have teased a clue to the clue to begin with, because we seriously wasted like 20 minutes just walking around touching things and complaining about how sticky stuff was. Those handles were very sticky. Like, what went on in there?
Well, yeah, there was no flashing light. There was no button that if you pressed it, it did something exciting. Like, we were just walking around the room like, all right, what the fuck is the first thing we're supposed to do here? Didn't make any sense at all, and I just randomly went over and started lifting levers, and sure enough, that was somehow the first clue, but nobody, I mean, I don't know, without that clue, I don't know what people would do in there. I'd be very shocked if they did anything different.
And I'm glad that you're giving yourself all the credit for solving the first clue.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I definitely 100% did 4-2-4-4, left, right. But break down. All right, Justin, break down the first clue. Why was it so bad? It was really a bad clue.
Well, because, okay, so whether you've done an escape room or you haven't, you're sort of dropped Black Hawk Down style into a room and they just say, go. And we didn't know where to go. And you pulled some levers, and then a coat rack came down, and there was a button that played a song that was like from Rocky Horror Picture Show, and it was like, "Ooh, go to the left." And Eric's jumping to the left, and Jeff is jumping to the left, and then Jeff is like, "No, you have to put your hands on your hip." Oh man,
it was a mess.
We were.
It was a very tough first clue, but after that, things started going a little better.
No, not really, though. They were pretty challenging the whole way through. I mean, I think
it took us 20 minutes after the first one.
Well, every about 20 minutes on the 20 minutes, we felt the need to press the button because there was something just, it didn't make sense. There's lots of numbers and digits and codes, and there's a lot of just random stickers and stuff that's just kind of floating around the place that's like, what does this mean? But I think we solved some of the most challenging puzzles on our own, which I will be, you know, I am very excited about. I thought we did a great job on the more challenging ones, but it was, I didn't know what to expect, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, I haven't been to one in probably 4 or 5 years. an escape room, and this is the first time that we ever, or I have ever, escaped. I don't know about you guys. Have you, like, escaped all the times, or is this your first?
This, our third.
Oh, you escaped every time?
Well, I've only done it three times, and the first two times, my dad was there, who basically has some weird, bizarre high IQ and can just do these quite quickly. So, yeah. I'm surprised. I'm shocked with the one on last weekend.
Yeah. No, that was my first one I've ever solved. So it was like even extra exciting for me because I've always felt so defeated. So I walk into those places like, yeah, how am I going to fail this one so hard? So Justin, what about you? Have you done escape rooms before? Have you won or failed miserably?
So I've never done an escape room before, but I like the Sherlock Holmes quote. I've trained myself to notice everything that I see. So I like to think that like I see beyond the painting. And this escape room just told me like, no, you're a damn idiot.
Hey, I didn't know that it was your first one.
Yeah, it was first time.
Yeah, you would have fooled me.
So as a newcomer to escape rooms, because when the fad really hit years ago, what was your first impression then? Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yeah, no.
Give us a newbie's look into it.
So I thought, like, the presentation was really cool. It reminded me of those, like, escape... Like, that was such a big flash game thing back in the day. Like, escape the jail cell, escape the hotel room. Like, you click around the room and you find the different aspects. So it reminded me of that a lot, but... The thought of an escape room just always gave me a lot of anxiety. And I just was always like, yeah, I'm not trying to put myself in this like high pressure situation. But it wasn't like that at all. It was a lot more chill. Like, I think that we all collaborated really well together to sort of work off some ideas and find some codes. And, you know, it's like, Eric, go put this code in there. And you're doing it. And Jeff's like, oh, right. We have to go count these things over here. And I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. It was a lot of fun.
Well, and also, it's kind of silly at first because you just feel so ridiculous when you get in there. Like, yeah, you're with friends and all four, five, six of us, you know, there was only four of us at the time. But like our close group of friends, like we're always weird around each other. So why does it feel silly that like I'm putting levers up and down or left or right? And it just seems so outrageous that you're trying to do something that's weird, but in the end, it's like, oh, shit, they were onto something. Like, yeah, you lift these levers, and the beakers do change colors, and holy shit, the Dracula stickers mean something. But it's just weird. It's a fun thing. I think that was probably out of the last three or last two that I've been to before that point. It was the smallest of the three that I was in, so it was a little bit odd. I'm like... Because this room, I think on the website said it would hold up to 10 people or at least maybe 8.
They had, what, 5 other rooms there? Maybe we were just in a smaller one.
No, I mean, like, it's literally said on the website, this can hold 10 people. And could you imagine 10 people in that first part of the room? Like,
you get a little warm.
Oh, yeah, it would get really warm. You'd just be like, I feel like everybody's on top of each other. I feel like the more... is not merrier. Like, the more is people just fuck around and they're not solving anything, and then people just start fighting and killing each other.
Can I just bring up the level of detail, though, in the thing? Like, it was pretty well done.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, the way they built it, and it was very cool. I feel like I gotta give them props for that.
I agree. I feel like for the price tag, like each of us paid what, $30 to get in there. And you know what? For an hour for $30, I feel like it was worth the price. I've been to I think the other ones I've been to have literally been like $40 to $50 a person. And it was, not saying it was worth it, but it wasn't like, it didn't feel like I spent my money and I got some very entertaining value out of it. But this one definitely felt that way.
Yeah, I mean, and for the amount of fun that we had, I think it was worth it.
Yeah, yeah, $30 and for that burp smell challenge that the guy did, that was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Oh,
the robot guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there was like an animatronic in there with us that would randomly talk to you.
Yeah, Well, I want to know, boys. I gotta take us on our first side quest of the day, because escape rooms, I think it's on our list now of things that we would like to do in the future and keep doing. Maybe it's because we won. If we all just failed miserably, we might be out of there. Like, fuck this, I'm never doing it again.
Well, I definitely want to do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but I want to know, what if you were to set one up? Let's say unlimited budget. 60 minutes only, so you can't set up a 15 bedroom mansion for an escape room, but 60 minute limit. What is your best idea as to like a new escape room theme? What would you like to see? What would be a part of it? Feel free to elaborate and put as much detail as you want, but like Jeff, let's start with you. What is your kind of, now that you've done it a few times, three times now, what's your go-to if Jeff were to create his own escape room? What would it look like?
Well, I think it got brought up afterward when we got drinks, but I'd love to see like an Aliens one. Like you're on this small craft in the Alien universe and you have to escape the alien, and if time runs out, you're dead.
Oops. Gotcha.
Not like really dead, but like, you know, you failed, and the whole time it's taunting you, it's making noise, you're trying to get out of the ship. I think that would be really cool. Like, you hit something and then like its tail goes flying around. Like, it could be really cool.
Okay. Good idea. Justin, what about you?
Yeah, I think that's an awesome idea. I think you can do the same with like a Predator, kind of like an uncontained escape room. It would be really awesome. The one that comes to mind for me though, would you're in the back of a wagon. You got your hands tied. It's the beginning of Skyrim. You have to escape the dragon. Come on, a Skyrim escape room. How cool would that be?
Both great ideas. Both great ideas. I'm going to...
You got a dragon one there.
I'm going to cheat a little bit, just because when I thought about it over the weekend, I thought it would be really cool, without getting sued, that having like a Marvel escape room, like being in Avengers Tower or being in some kind of Marvel movie where you're crossed with the characters or the villains and you got to go and do secret missions. But like, overall, I mean, how many different cool, crazy, mythical, cosmic technology type things could happen in an escape room for Avengers? Like, come on. Like, that one's almost cheating. Again, that would be really fun, but I do love the horror themes. Like, I want to go back and do like the Salem witch one that was there, because the Monster Mayhem was cool, but that was kind of like Monster Mash, spooky, you know, like the Munsters type, silly, scary. But I feel like a real legitimate good, like, I don't know, Blair Witch Project one, where you're like freaking out and people are spooking you and it's dark and cold and like your clues and the shit you got to do is very scary and you got to put your hand in a tub of goop or something. That would be awesome.
That was the thing back in the day when we were kids, if you remember, like we did it in the library at grammar school. We had like a haunted like library thing and you had to put your hands in like the peeled grapes and they were like, it's eyeballs. Ooh.
And the spaghetti is guts.
Yeah.
Cold spaghetti. No.
Spaghetti's, mom, spaghetti's.
Oh, gross. Geez. Gross. Well, boys. Gravity.
Can I, and here's a little side question for Justin, but do you see like some weird horror movie or short horror film in an escape room?
Isn't there already one?
I'm sure there probably, I mean, I know there's like movies like Sphere and some weird stuff like that.
Spheres. There we go. But no, I think there is a Blumhouse movie that takes place in an escape room already.
I think there's like a sequel to it too. Escape Room 2.
Yeah, it was like Tournament of Champions or some shit like that.
Ugh. I mean, it is a good idea, like to see how we can make that a movie. But like, I don't know. Yeah, you would think like there's some kind of like show or good movie. Not saying Blumhouse is bad, but like, how could they make it and make some money off of that bad boy? And how could you do it in real life? Like, you know, those, some of the best haunted houses are the ones where you got to like sign a waiver and it gets a lot of attention and people are able to like spook you a little bit and touch you maybe. But like, how could that be a waiver?
Yeah.
Escape room, you know, like you could fall into a pit and then you're in the pit for the rest of the game.
Have either of you watched Severance on Apple yet?
No, not yet. I've heard a lot about it, though. Is it good?
We just started watching it the other day. We're two episodes in out of the nine. That would be an escape room. You're stuck in a brown office building. There's coffee stains on the carpet. It's got the tiled ceiling with the fluorescent lights, and it's like, get the hell out of here.
And I like Adam Scott. He's in that, right?
Yes, he is. I love him. So everything back when he was, he played Griff the Bully in Boy Meets World to Parks and Rec. Like, he's had a great career.
Wasn't he a Party Down, too? Did you guys ever watch Party
he
Down?
He was, yes.
I remember watching the first couple episodes, and I don't think it went anywhere after maybe season one, but I remember him being just hilarious in that, too.
He's so good. He needs to get into the MCU.
Yeah, that would be great. Please. Or Macaulay Culkin, one of the two. Why not?
Fair enough.
Listen, boys, I want to move us on to our first segment of the day. Let's go back down memory lane.
Let's-a-go.
Let's go indeed. I want to talk about a little thing called a death battle with Link versus Cloud Strife. Now, both very compatible. In a dating website, both a lot of points, a lot of swords and bombs and things alike. But I need to know from both of you gentlemen, in a escape room, a big room, let's call it a pretty big room, the size of maybe the small gym in Benjamin Middle School. Shout out, because I know you're listening. Link versus Cloud Strife. Who would win? Why? How quickly is one dying? And how do they die? Jeff, tossing this bad boy over to you.
Ooh, this is a tough one. How do they die in an escape room?
Death battle, escape room, themes are happening. But the main goal is that they're both trying to kill each other.
Yeah, so escape room's quite tight, so they probably bust out of that pretty quickly. And now they're in the parking lot and shit's getting real. I've played Final Fantasy VII. The remake one, which isn't the full game, it's only like the first half or one third, but they're pretty comparable together. But I don't know, this is a tough one. Again, I don't know too much about Cloud, but I think with Link and his full arsenal of, I mean, Link just has a lot of shit at his disposal. And especially if we're talking like Fierce Deity Link with his Triforce. I mean, he basically can become a god at some point. He has abilities like time travel, teleportation. He can just pull out bombs out of nowhere. Infinite amount of arrows, light arrows that can pierce most anything. But I think his biggest strength is one of his armors is an anti-magic suit that he wears, which I know Cloud has Magicka or whatever he uses, and I think if Link's wearing that, I don't think there's too much Cloud can do, because they're both exceptional sword fighters. But I know that Link has fought little gods and all sorts of mythical beasts and crazy stuff, so I'm just going to have to give it to Link for just... he's just got too much OP shit in his arsenal.
Okay, very good rundown. But how does he die, though? It's got to be a pretty brutal kill shot.
How does he die? Well, it's either with one of his Triforce arrows that'll just pierce right through Cloud, or he goes into Fierce Deity and uses the Triforce and just basically slices him in half, cutting Cloud's sword as he tries to block it, because it's basically light energy at that point. That turns into a super overpowered lightsaber that just cut through anything.
Wow. Well, that's a pretty NC-17. Thanks for that.
Oh, he's cut in half.
Justin, where do you land on that spectrum of Mr. Link versus Mr. Cloud? Who's winning and why?
Yeah. Jeff brings up a lot of great points, and obviously you swayed me a little bit. Like you bring up a lot of Link's like greatness that he brings to the table. So they're in an escape room. You know, well, let's say it's Harry and the Hendersons, the escape room. And we've got John Lithgow and Bigfoot are in the room as well. They're just watching. In my gut, I want to say Cloud wins. He can move up time. He can slow up time just the same. He's got his Ragnarok. He's got his Omni Slash. He's got his materia, his magic. He can freeze. He can do literally anything that Link can do. But Jeff brings up a compelling argument. I think that they kind of just like they both leap into the air and they strike swords and their swords break each other's swords and then they're just like, guys, why are we fighting? Let's just go grab a drink.
That is also a great outcome.
That's what I think happens.
Gosh, I'll admit I am not a big Cloud historian. I only know so much about him. I know, you know, that he's from Final Fantasy, but I don't know him as deep and as detailed as I know Link. And I feel like, I don't know, I guess the way I like to look at it is Cloud seems like a man's man. He seems like he knows how to wield the sword and he knows how to, like, kick some ass and do the dirty if he needs to. I feel like Link's just a little bit too PG. I feel like he's a little rated E for everyone. And when it came down to it, I don't know if he could actually put in the kill shot. I feel like he'd be holding the bow, the arrow, and he'd have a, you know, shot.
Yeah, this is bloodlusted, though. They're not...
Oh, yeah. There's no moral. He's still a puss. Like, he would just
look... got the morals.
No, he would still hold that arrow to the temple, and Link would just puss out, and it would cause him... He's like, hey, let me help you up. And then, you know, Cloud just takes the sword and jams it straight through his torso, through the spine, and then he twists it so that he opens him up. Like a little, little plus sign. And then he rips his guts out and puts it all over the plate and feeds it to his animals.
Now, again, I'd like to hear what you would think, because they're bloodlusted. So this is death battles to the death.
Yeah, Cloud
meaning
easily.
There's no moral.
Cloud easily. Because Link's a puss.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got his little hat. He's like Peter Pan. You know, he just doesn't really know how to throw his bomb. It's too heavy for him. He's always carrying too much weight. I feel like Cloud's just very light and nimble, and he knows how to, you know, act on his feet. And he's got a giant-ass sword, right? I mean, Justin, correct me if I'm wrong. It's like, what, a 6-foot sword?
Yeah, his sword is ridiculous. And then his ultimate weapon's even better. But Cloud's a soldier. Like, he's a trained killer.
Oh, and he knows how to defeat his enemy on the front line.
The
problem is though, Eric, when Link goes fears deity, his morals.
Nobody gives a shit. Cloud wins.
Well, no, that's his ability. He has that ability in his arsenal.
He's still a 40-pound boy. He holds bombs that are 20 pounds too heavy.
He's a 40-pound-year-old boy.
Yeah, he's just got two little. All
right, so basically, you don't know anything about these guys.
Light hats. He can't even do push-ups, so Cloud is easily going to win.
My gut wants to agree with you, but Jeff brings up some really great points.
They're super cool characters. I personally like Justin's outcome, where they're just like, this fucking stupid, because they're very evenly matched. It's a good death battle.
I like that.
I mean, hear from other people who, you know, like both series and what they.
And Strife is in Smash Bros. Is he?
How many? So when did you play Final Fantasy VII, Eric, since you know a lot about it, apparently.
Oh, no, I know enough about them to...
No, but did you play it?
Oh, no, never played it. I just know from the looks of those two and what Link's capable of. Link's just a weak little boy.
Link's a weak little boy?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're talking about Ocarina of Time when he's a child before he goes...
No, Breath of the Wild, he's what, about 80 pounds, 90 pounds?
Breath of the Wild? He's about 80 pounds.
Well, how much does he weigh? 115? 110?
Yeah, they're both pretty skinny dudes.
No, Cloud is not a skinny. Cloud is pretty jacked.
Who's the hotter female to the two? Tifa or Zelda?
That's tough because do you want to see good graphics, or I'm picturing like the first two Zelda games where it's just this little nugget of a person that.
Yeah, good question. I would not care less about either.
That's the right answer. Let's throw Chun-Li in the mix.
She's got big ears. I could care less about Zelda. She's got big, stupid ears.
Well, she's kind of like an elf.
Yeah, exactly. So just small, tiny people that would easily just get rolled, steamrolled.
What?
Do you know, like, the background of elves?
Yeah, they're tiny little people, and they just roll through the forest and create fairies and pixie dust.
And then they
make toys at Christmas.
Did you ever see Lord of the Rings?
Oh God, barely.
When was the last high fantasy novel you read about elves?
Ugh, hopefully none. Please, no God.
You are not an expert on this at all.
I've got better things to do in life. Sorry, not my forte.
What was the name of Lynx in the first game? It was Ganon, right? That's the big bad.
He's
like the Bowser to the.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Yeah. There's other, evil dudes that he deals with. Who's Cloud's big? Who's the big bad in that?
Savior Sephiroth.
Sephiroth is the main. I thought he was more like this anti villain.
Well, it's a very complex game, and there's a lot that goes into it. But the big boss battle is between Cloud and him. And Sephiroth
Like throw the moon or something, the planet or some ridiculous thing in the game.
Yeah, it's insane.
Well, sounds like a big battle. We want to hear from you out there. Let us know who would win, Link or Cloud. There's a heated battle going on right now, but I want to bring us into our next main quest of the day. Let's go back in time. Let's dial the clocks back a little bit, back into what was it? Probably early 2000s, maybe late 90s. I want to talk about a little website that probably most of you forgot about that is still around today, if you would be shocked at this. But we're talking about E-Bombs World, like kind of the first, I would say, central place of the internet where a lot of stuff happened. I mean, there was like other places that popped up after that, like what, Newgrounds and YTMND, and just like all these other places where you feel like you can go to get some funny content and videos. But E-Bombs World was one of those main sites that I feel like all of us spent so much time on as soon as we got home from school, weekends, sleepovers, things like that. So, Justin, I'm going to toss this one over to you. What are some of your first recollections of E-Bombs World? And I mean, let's be honest, just kind of like old viral videos and viral stuff going on back in the day, but like mostly you saw that shit on E-Bombs World.
Yeah, I think my first exposure to E-Bombs World was, if you guys remember, it was a cat with a Nazi symbol behind it, and it had flashing eyes and the song "Kill Your Parents, Kill Your Parents, Then Kill Yourself."
Oh my God. That was
my first exposure. Do you remember that one?
Why? I hope I don't, but I'm sure it's buried deep, and I could easily imagine that on like one of those, you know, it's like a flash video.
Yep.
That's what they were big on. Oh my God.
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. It made no sense, and I've looked for it recently, and it's difficult to find. It just was talking about killing your parents and killing yourself. And
oh my God.
Hell, man. That's what 2003 was all about.
Yeah, we thought we were so hip and cool and just watching those videos. And Jeff, what was the one we always watched? It was like, and it was like the same thing.
It was all like the flash.
But it had like Nazi stuff too. Like, what was up with like flash Nazi videos? Yeah. What was that about?
That one I don't remember. I remember like the sounds it made.
Yeah.
But then there was like, okay, so.
Oh, ends of the world. Ends
the
of
ends
the
of the world.
Yeah.
So you got China, Russia, blah, and Australia. Yeah, that one. And then remember the stick figure fights?
Oh, those were badass.
Holy shit.
Those were really elaborate. Like they were like 5 minutes long.
Oh, yeah. And they'd get more nuts each time like a new one came out. I remember you'd come over and you'd be like, There's a new one out. We got to watch it. And then there was the infamous, I think this was your favorite, Rubber Johnny.
Rubber Johnny was great. Oh my god, he was the best. It looked legitimate until the end when it was like some, you know, dance techno rave music video, but that was creepy as fuck. I remember the Ultimate Showdown, where it was like the song of like Godzilla versus whatever, and you know, Mr. Rogers versus Batman, and it was like the best fucking animated video ever.
Washington.
Oh my god.
That one.
And who could forget
Salad Fingers?
Oh god.
Oh fucking Salad Fingers. That was creepy. What was
why was Salad Fingers? Why was that a thing? And somebody came up with that. I mean, it was really, you know, it was
a cool time.
It's funny that the internet came out in like 1995. Legit like 1996 is when it really picked up. But in a matter of like 4.5 to 5 years, the depths, the buttholes, the armpits of the world all infested this internet with just like really great content that we all loved and laughed at, or were just like, what the fuck is this thing? Like, Jeff, the hand thing. Wow, God, the hand thing. You know, like really creepy videos that you just went to the depths of the web and you're like, okay, enough internet for today. But like, it was just, it to me, when we look back in history, it's so funny that how quickly, in a matter of a few years, it just turned to like Tim and Eric, awesome show, great job, in a matter of no time.
Maybe that's where they got their inspiration, was just the weird shit that started on E-Bombs World. And there was Newgrounds. What other, there was You're the Man Now, Dog, where Eric, if any of you are interested,
still has
videos up there as the Poop Monster.
Yeah. I've got a whole slew of videos. Out. I've got like probably at least 60 videos. That's what I did after school, is like create all these YTMND, because I figured out in Photoshop how to make these, the GIFs, the you know, GIFs. it took a while, and I finally figured it out. So I decided, you know what, let's make some fake internet points on YTMND. So I did.
Here's a random just side quest story, I guess.
Yeah.
But I minored in graphic design in college, and one of the things that we had to do was create Photoshop GIFs. So I created a GIF of a pterodactyl ripping Tony Danza's head off of his body.
Ooh.
As part of my final project in college. So I want to hear, Eric, what's the weirdest thing that you created? And then Jeff, if you don't have a weirdest, what would be your weirdest?
Oh God, mine was, it's so stupid. It was either like, you know, something about Jesus only puts ranch on things. So like at the Last Supper, he needed the ranch. it was like him winking with a ranch bottle and tilting his head and doing this little finger point. And like everybody at the table is like, what the fuck is that? And he's like, oh, got to ranch that shit, bitch. And I was
ranch
like, I was using all the swear words I could think of at the time, but
ranch that shit, bitch.
God, it was that. There was like clips of videos I would put together, like Final Destination or like Pirates of the Caribbean. Just terrible. I mean, it was just like the worst of the worst, but that was probably the first one that came to mind.
Jeez.
Using Jesus. He's the reason for this season.
is he putting ranch on the little piece, you know, of bread for the communion?
Oh yeah, you know, just a little, get a little dip of ranch, just dip your crisp into the bowl. And that was how Hidden Valley got started.
Kick it back with some grape juice or some red wine, blood of Christ, let's rock.
Oh boy, put a little dips in there. But I mean, if you know, it was such an interesting time. Like, now that we think about it, nothing back then was really viral. You know, it was just like, that's the internet. Yes, it was something that people passed around, but viral wasn't even a thing yet. It's just weird to me. It's a weird concept that we were around when like stuff was big and we lived it and we were in it in real time. But now if you look back, like that's the history of the internet, is like the Numa Numa guide. Like that's something we just like passed it around and didn't realize at the time, like this guy's gonna be the biggest hit of the internet, or one of the, you know, if you think about it, he will probably live in infamy forever. Like the history of the internet will go down. And it was just kind of cool to experience and watch. And like, we only had so many websites to go to. And around that time, you know, like those, you know, like MySpace popped up, and all those other fucking sites. And of course, peer to peer sharing. So it was like an onslaught of just viral videos and people sharing videos and pictures. And it was just like, I mean, Jeff, we would just stay up till 3-4 in the morning, just like downloading everything we could find, watching videos, going to E-Bombs World, watching like, what was it? Joe Cartoon was big back then too. We would like put a bunny in a blender or something, like, you know, like an animated blender.
Kitten Cannon.
I mean, so all the Flash games, like, just remember all the Flash games, like,
how many Flash games?
God, like the Penguin, so many, like, Flash games. Oh my, yeah. So anyways, I just got overloaded here with the nostalgia.
And there was Newgrounds. I mean, outside of E-Bombs World, what other ones were there? Was, I know Newgrounds.
God, there was one that was a little bit more on the edge, like it was meant more for like adults as opposed to like, you know, E-Bombs World still was, but it had like those notifications that, hey, this is not safe for work or not safe for kids.
Jeez.
God, there was another one. What was the name of it?
Not safe for work. That's what the name of it was.
Yeah. Well, let's take it one step further. And do you remember Rotten.com?
Ooh. Yeah, wasn't that like where all the weird...
Like people were just getting straight up murdered.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, it was murder police photography from like death scenes and shit like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that. There was one, I don't know if it turned into like Ogrish or another one, but there was like some heavy, like dark web stuff on there. That
it was messed up, man.
Once you go there, you do not come back as the same person.
No. No, it's so true. But back in the late 90s, early 2000s, you can walk into Family Video and rent Faces of Death.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that one on VHS?
They had like 5 or 6 or 10 different types of, you know, volumes, I should say, of that one.
That was messed up.
God. So,
and it wasn't even behind the barn doors or the saloon doors.
Yeah, saloon doors.
It's like you have to go behind the saloon doors to get the Prano, but if you want to see somebody getting shot, it's right next to, Mr. Mom.
Yeah. Gosh, I remember even, like, back in the day, like, I think there was, like, ghost videos. I was all up into, like, ghost videos and, like, is it real? Is it legit? But, like, the quality was so fucking grainy and so bad and, like, it was just... You know, it was just so terrible that, like, why did we spend so much time on the internet watching that shit? You know, why did...
We didn't have Scooby Douchebag yet, so...
We were hooked on it since day one. Like, we, you know, you know what's fun to think about, and maybe not fun for them, but fun for us, is, like, what was life like before, I don't know, electronics? The internet, like, obviously our parents growing up would say, well, we played with the ball and stick, and, you know, we had our first color TV.
I said a ball and stick. They did have some technology then.
But I mean, like, they literally had, you had to communicate with people in person, and there's
no... So did we for a time.
Well, for a very short time, but, like, we went from growing up to Rubber Johnny. Very quickly.
Yeah, I really feel like the 70s and 60s and 80s really answered that question for you, and the answer is drugs.
Lots
very
of drugs.
Very true.
We should have Claudia on and ask.
Yeah.
You know, was it the drug
scene? How was the drug scene back then? I mean, that I suppose you bring up a good point. They'd go to the local playground or build a treehouse.
To a playground.
And then they would just drop some acid and be like, Mom will be home by dinner. And then before you know it, it's 3 days later.
My stepdad tells the story about dropping acid, then going to watch Muppets Take Manhattan in the 70s and just being so confused. He's like, I don't know what happened. My friend did 6 hits of it. We didn't see him for 3 weeks. And I'm just like, man.
Now he's on a milk carton. That 70s. Was the thing. Back in the day, you just drink, do a little chug and cheers to the person on the milk carton. Oops. That went across the line. A little chug and cheers, a little CNC back in the day.
Oh, my gosh. Like, that was the thing.
But, like, I kind of wonder, like, what's the internet going to turn into? Is there a next stage? Is it going to evolve? Yeah. Like...
It's turned in. Oh, the metaverse.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, like, is anything going to be viral anymore? You know, like, I know right now, nowadays, people, like, pop up, it's like 15 seconds. Everybody sees the video, or 2 days, or 3 days.
There's still viral videos. It happens.
Well, it does. It happens all the time, and there's so many more outlets to get it. Like, are you TikToking? Are you Instagram storying? But it's all bullshit.
Yeah.
It's all useless. It's not the stuff we watch. It's just dumb. It's just, like, some kid running around like a mall or something and just throwing water balloons of blood at someone. It's just a prank, bro.
That sounds like the worst viral video ever. But sure. You're so accurate with it. Like people
it's not creative. Like the viral stuff we watched. I mean, yeah, stick figures and stuff, and it's silly, but it's, you know, whoever made that stuff was extremely talented. And we watched it because, yeah, it was cool and it was super interesting. It wasn't just some Logan Paul bullshit or whatever. That's what it's turned into, just this wasteland of just dumb shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's only going to continue in the metaverse, which I don't believe in and don't think I'll ever participate in. I don't think
that'll ever happen.
Yeah, it's just a waste of it.
It doesn't make, well, here's garbage. The thing, right? Like, we've talked virtual reality before, and the thing is, there's no hook, line, or sinker to get you into VR. Like, it's been around for a while. Jeff, we both bought it, and some people we knew bought it. But, like, honestly, I haven't dusted mine off in probably 8 or 9 months. Like, there's this...
Well, we talked about it. It's just, it's too much of a setup. I mean, when you want to play your VR, Eric, can you just sit down and put the headset on, or is there...
You gotta do the whole production.
If you just put it on your head, like right now, we could all be like, "All right, we're logging on the podcast to do it in the meta," and you just pop it on your head. That's where it's gonna change.
Well, let me ask you guys this: like, what would it take? You know, metaverse or no metaverse or whatever it is. Like, what in the virtual reality world would it take for you to actually put that headset on? Let's say 3 to 4 days a week. Like, is it
convenient?
You're going to a movie. Just
put it on.
Assume there's convenience. Let's just say you can pop it on your head anytime.
Look how easy it is. Okay, what takes longer? Turning on your Xbox or setting up the VR?
No, I'm just saying, if you have the convenience, you could pop it on in the middle of the street. You could pop it on in space.
Why are you in the middle of the street?
Well, you know, because you'd want to play in traffic, but you want to play Frogger for real. you know, but like, what would the content actually need to be for you guys to sit down, get this thing going and plug in 3 to 5 days a week or whatever it is to like feel that need for VR? Like, what would it be?
I mean, I could tell you one thing that a lot of people use it for.
What's that?
Well, that's the porn industry.
Oh boy.
That's where think about it though. The best VR videos that are out there are the ones in the porn industry. The porn industry always jumps on the newest thing. When the internet came out, it was weird shit, but there was porn. I mean, they were like, this is it. This is where we got to be.
Okay, so let's walk through a scenario, right? So, like, is this VR person just standing in the room while two people just go at it? Like, what's this VR porn thing? Like, what would they actually do in this scenario?
Well, you have a VR, so go.
Because you're literally, try it out. What? You're sitting in, because you're sitting in the couch. What do you do next? You just, like, watch porn in VR? Or you actually partake?
Well, who knows? I think they have some weird Japanese stuff where you partake. I have no idea.
Oh, my God.
They make a lot of money in that one.
There's the really weird episode of Black Mirror with Anthony Mackie where they do. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, if there's technology like that.
That was an episode.
That was a Captain Falcon episode for sure. That was probably better than the whole series of Winter Soldier. But
it's a good episode, but yeah, it brings up social ramifications to the whole concept of
and you want to grow get a jobs because that thing seems like it's going to be a big hit and cost a lot of money. But I mean, that's just okay. Jeff, you bring up a good point. That's one area that people could spend the money and be in there however many days a week, right? Just watching porn, partaking in porn. But like, I personally can't think of anything that would get me in there. Like, I feel like I've experienced VR. We played some shooting games. We played some fun other games. Like, I don't think the next level of gaming or entertainment is VR. I feel like that ship is going to come and go pretty quick, and then VR is just going to be a thing of the past that, like, almost like, what was it? The fucking Nintendo, was it Virtual Boy?
Virtual Boy.
Yeah, like, I feel like that's going to be the Oculus.
VR, you're comparing VR now to the Virtual Boy is...
Well, it came and went, right?
So different.
No,
but when they came out, it was groundbreaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was, I mean, it was in and out within a year or so. The VR now is still, you know, going quite strong. I mean, we don't.
No one's playing it.
They're still developing for it, Eric. They're still putting.
Yeah,
I mean,
but it came out in like, what, 2015? Like, it's going nowhere. It's almost at 10 years.
You don't play it as much. Doesn't mean other people aren't.
All right, show me the sales year after year. It's going up. It's increasing.
I mean, we'd have to look.
I doubt it.
Guys, can we just really quick, though, the difference between Virtual Boy and VR is you couldn't just walk into a Toys R Us now and put your face into, like, a really germ-infested, dirty headset and just watch a red and black Mario Tennis screen that gave you, like, pukies afterwards.
Yeah. Very true.
Virtual Boy.
Very true. But like that, I mean, like, no one that we know is like, how many people do we know outside of me and you, Jeff, like, have an Oculus or have a PSVR? Like, there might be some people out there, but the metaverse is not gonna, unless they give one to everybody for free, like, hey, we'll give it to you for free, but you just gotta log in and subscribe to some bullshit. I don't know if it's ever going to catch on. I just can't see it. People, you know, at the end of the day, I think people like the real world a little bit better. And real porn.
Yeah, I mean, real porn.
4D.
I mean, we're looking online. Yeah, the statistics are that it's growing stably each year. So,
well, what's your source? Who's your source? Lawyer up!
Your sources on here, Eric. You just got to look.
Okay.
I would say the one thing... It's like, I agree with both of you to, like, an extent.
No, but also, like, I mean, Eric, I mean, look at sales of cartoons and, like, different cartoons that are out right now. Which ones on Cartoon Network are you watching religiously every day?
What?
None.
But that doesn't
what
even
I'm trying
make
to
sense.
Say is just because you're not into it doesn't mean there is an audience. There's an audience for everything.
Look, one day we will live in a world that is Ready Player One. It will happen.
It will. You're right. When we are in senior centers, that's all there will be, because looking at our old, dumb, disgusting faces in real life is going to be so depressing that it's...
And there is a Black Mirror episode on that as well.
Yeah. So Black
Mirror... And it was the only one with a happy ending.
Way ahead of time. And I'm glad you brought up happy ending, because let's kick off our final segment of the day, ladies and gentlemen.
To go.
Which, actually, this game would be fun, I think, in VR if we played it. But I want to talk way back when Nintendo 64, Mr. Mario 64. I mean, this game, when we talk about groundbreaking and being brand new and something that nobody has seen before, I mean, this is one of the first 3D games ever where you are open world, quote unquote. You are just browsing around, running around, jumping. Doing whatever the fuck you want.
How's that go?
And it was woo-hoo! And it was just amazing. I mean, let's be honest, this game, if this game did not exist, the Nintendo 64 would have never been successful. This was like the first game that almost came with it if you bought the package, but it's the main reason you wanted to buy it. And I think it was also a game that was challenging enough that you got pissed off at. There was no easy to follow, like, strategy guy that you were trying to get into early on. Again, day one release, no, but did they have, like, the player guides a little bit later? Sure. They were like, what, 400-page catalogs, Jeff? Those fucking Nintendo Power magazines, whatever they were. But honestly, I want to hear about your guys' first, you know, memories of this game. Justin, I know you weren't a big N64 boy, but, you know, I want to hear from you first. Any good memories of Mario 64?
You know, not really. I didn't play it when I was younger. My fondest memories of N64 are Bond related. So I would disagree with you in saying that this game was a make or break for the N64 when there was so many other just like great ones out there. I have played it a few times, but again, maybe if you're a new listener, I chose the PlayStation over the N64. Ooh. And the Jaguar.
Oh yeah. Okay, fair enough. Fair comments. I will accept and take that criticism and feedback. I love that. Jeff, where are you at from your first memories and recollection of getting the Mario 64?
I mean, Eric, as you know, you and I were definitely more went the 64 route. It wasn't until I didn't get into PlayStation until PlayStation 2. I did have the first PlayStation, but it was at the very end of its run. So my nostalgia of, you know, being in middle school and all that is the 64. And I remember when it came out, it was all over the news, and there was video. They were playing videos of Mario jumping into photos and it wobbling like water. And I was just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
How do I get my hands on this? This is insane. All of us were just blown away by what we were seeing on TV. And then you got to play it, and it was an incredible platformer. It was just awesome. And it paved the way for, you know, gaming changing the way that, you know, we have gaming now. I mean, Mario's always done that from the first Super Mario Brothers to now, you know, the 64 to, you know, all the new Odyssey, all the stuff that's come out since then. Mario's always been like a groundbreaking game and you know, in platformers. So it was just, without Mario 64, we would have never gotten Ocarina of Time because it created that technology to do it.
Yeah.
It was great. I mean, it's just trying to collect all the stars. And I remember I didn't have it when I first got the 64. It took a while. So I always had to go to my friend Kevin. Shout out to Kevin. Thanks for always having me over, because we just play Mario all night. We beat it multiple times. It was crazy.
Yeah, and to what you're saying too is there was a Mega Man game that came out on PlayStation that I don't think would have existed without this game.
Yeah.
That was a completely different Mega Man game, and it was really cool. But you're right.
Yeah, this game, I mean, like, it definitely brought forth the power of a new console. I mean, we had that in previous console games, don't get me wrong. Like, you know, the PlayStation, the, you know, Sega Saturn, Nintendo, Super Nintendo. Like, obviously, every console, when you get the new one, you want the next big thing. And, like, what's the big thing to get me over here, and what's so exciting about it? And that's what I suppose, I'm not trying to become a downer here, but maybe what I fear a little bit about our future with console gaming. Like, I think we have all pretty much peaked with the PS5, the Xbox Series X. Like, everything's running off of 4K nowadays, and if your TV can handle it, awesome. 60 frames per second.
Yeah, they're running the same. Cool. I mean, they're all running Unreal. I mean, there's really no...
Yeah, but like that's what scares me a little bit, is like, there, what's going to be the next nugget for us as gamers to, you know, to... I mean, look at us, right? Like, we have realistic fucking games now. Jeff, we have porn on VR. I mean, how much better can it get? Like, back in the day, we had fucking Mario going left to right on the screen, and we were excited. Even if we got killed, it was still an amazing experience. Then N64 came around. Oh my god, I've never seen 3D graphics and Mario Kart 64. How could it get better? And GoldenEye, have you ever seen such crisp, realistic graphics of people's faces? And if you Google it now, it's so hideous and so weird, but it's like, you know, I guess if anything else, like, I loved Mario 64. It was such a great time. I still love to go back and play it every once in a while. They have it now on the Switch. If you have the annual pass and you get the Nintendo Online experience, like, it's still out there. I still have my 64. I'll still pop it in every once in a while as well, because you got to play it on the OG.
But looking at 64 now, when you go back, you're like, oh God, how did I play this thing?
It's so difficult.
I mean, go to PlayStation 2, and it's the same thing. I mean, there's still a long way for graphics to go, and what the games can do, and how fast they can load. I mean, that's one thing. Even loading time. Soon, you know, you'll pop in a game, it just immediately loads. Immediate.
Or,
and we still don't have that. There's still quite a ways.
Yeah. Or if it takes like 5 minutes to load, and your internet's like 900 gigs per second, it's like, God, why is this taking so fucking long? We are so fucking spoiled nowadays, but I can only imagine what systems we went from. We went from
Game Boy to Nintendo Switch in our hands.
Yeah.
So at the time we didn't know. Now we do, but we don't know in 10 years.
It's gonna change.
Yeah, it is, and I wonder. It's gotta be some kind of new experience. You know, Mario 64 again. They paved the way in a lot of ways. I mean, Justin, to your point, yes. There were a lot of great games on the N64. I think, like, out of all my gaming systems, that has got to be in my top three of all time. You know, I love a lot of gaming systems, like even, you know, Nintendo. The original Nintendo is probably in the top three, but Nintendo 64, PlayStation 2 is up there for me. I mean, the latest and greatest systems are fun and all great and dandy, but, like, that was a system that just revolutionized things. They kicked it into the next gear, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I know you guys aren't like as big wrestling fans as I was, and then even as Tom was. But I mean, WCW versus NWO was game changer.
It was the best.
I did play one or two on the 64 or on the PlayStation 2, but I remember playing a couple.
It was the first Battle Royale game. I remember the Royal Rumble. What was it, 50 wrestlers? You had to defeat all 50 in a matter of, like, who knows how many minutes. You had to, like, pin them or get them knocked out. But that was a fucking awesome, fun time.
Those wrestling games from back in the day were just ridiculous.
Yeah, and I don't know how we played two players on that shit, too.
Oh, my gosh. And then you pull the chair out of the ring and just bash them until their bar was blue.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And then you get your special, and you're so excited to use it. What was his name?
Jiggle the little stick.
Who was the fucking giant? Was he just called the giant?
Paul White was the giant before he moved to the WWF.
God, Sting and Scott Hall, like Hulk Hogan, you had all those guys. Oh my God. Rey Mysterio, he was a fucking bomb ass.
619.
In the ring. Oh my God. So good. But I mean, like, above nothing else, you know, it's always good to reminisce about something like Mario 64. I mean, it did. In a lot of ways, like, it's so replayable even to this day. I feel like every once in a while, everybody should, you know, get the game, go play it, have some fun.
And just a little plug for Nintendo. They're adding the old Nintendo 64 games on the Switch that you can get through Nintendo's, like, yearly service for free, or you can just buy them right out. And I know... Mario's on there, and I played it, and they cleaned up the graphics and everything, and it runs real smooth. So if you haven't played it, that's, you know, it's a good spot to try it out.
But you gotta, I mean, at least experience it on that N64 controller, because it was like three prongs. You only have two hands, so where does the third hand go? But it was just.
And I think you can get the wireless. I think they started selling the wireless 64 controllers for. The Switch enjoy like the old games on.
Well, that's nice. I like that a lot. I mean, ridiculous. Yeah, but...
Nintendo, they love taking money.
They will find ways, won't they? So anyways, boys, this was a really fun episode. Thanks everybody for joining us. We are right at the end here. So let us know all your thoughts about all the topics we talked about. I don't even remember where we started. That's how good it is. That's how fun it is. We hope you enjoyed it. Let us know about escape rooms. Let us know about the latest and greatest, what you've been up to, what you think about Mario 64, what you think about Link vs. Strife. We want to hear it all. Viral videos. What was the first one you watched? Were you allowed to watch them? Probably not, but you watched them anyways, didn't you? And that probably made you the person you are today. Right, Justin?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ogre. Shout out to Ogrish. All the stabbing videos. Oops. Anyways, boys, how shall we end it today? Any thoughts, ideas, woohoos type moments?
I think we all should do. I think Eric, you gotta recreate the Mario sound.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and do Link. And Justin, you can do Strife or Cloud, and we're in an escape room together trying to get out.
Okay. Oh, here's the door. How do we get the fuck out of here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate you all, stabbies all around. Cloud badass.
Well, Link doesn't talk. So...